Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
We also have the pharmaceutical medical tyranny. That has been made possible by people's disempowerment and total abnegation of their personal responsibility for their health. They do not basically turn over that kind of responsibility even for their automobiles to a mechanic, but they will turn over their bodies lock, stock, and barrel to a medical establishment that is part of the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex, and just believe in that authority and science and medicine to the point where it has become the new religion. It is a church. And the high sacrament of that church, of course, today is vaccines. And the other latest development is the digital high-tech corporation, Silicon Valley. We have all of the internet media, social media, totally controlled once again by these mega corporations. What's inconceivable to them is the real human spirit. What's inconceivable to them is selfless generosity and the selfless helping of other people. These are all blind spots. It is their Achilles heel.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I am Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Nelson, at the north of the South Island of New Zealand, I have Joe Rafici, who is a researcher, actor, radio host and businessman, and you may remember his very interesting and potent interview on the 15th of April of this year. It's very worth a listen just to read through the main points. Anyway, Joe also stated there, if one cannot understand the global context, then one will not be able to understand what is happening locally or even in one's country. He states that he will say it bluntly. We are in an attempt at global tyranny. So, Joe, nothing's changed since then.
Oh, well, it keeps augmenting and accelerating, of course. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, yep.
Okay. I think that might be a good departure point, is just to, once again, give the broad strokes of where we're at, where it came from. And because, basically, if people have not been looking at the kind of things many people have been looking at for decades, what's happening now would be inconceivable. So if I might, I could just put a little bit out about my background and
certainly
how I came to my perspective and just paint a picture, which is not a pretty picture, but it's a picture that's very necessary if people are to take on board what's actually happening today.
Excellent.
Okay, well, I consider myself, as you mentioned, I've been involved in some various professions, but I consider myself, as far as my personal interests go, a generalist, not a specialist. I'm interested in lots of things, and I've synthesized many things over my life from the things I've been interested in. Although, by profession, I'm a musician, and I've been in the theater as well, and latterly, a manufacturer of natural health formulator and developer of natural health products. But I started on this journey probably back, well, with my parents, really. My parents were skeptics about a lot of things. So I had that opportunity to see that one didn't necessarily have to agree with what everyone else believed in. But it started in university, really. It was around the time of the Vietnam War. It was around the time of the invasions and toppling of legitimate governments in Central America and South America. And that's when I first became interested in politics and the corruption, basically, around politics and foreign affairs. So I would say that corruption has been with humanity from the beginning, and certain levels of corruption have been extreme, and they've gone on throughout history. But in the last 60 years, they've been coming to the culmination that we see today. So especially from the 1960s and really around the time of, even before that, with the time of the first intelligence agencies taking inordinate amount of autonomous and secret power at the end of World War II. And then we had the assassination of Kennedy and the Vietnam War and so many things, even prior to the Latin American tyrannies that were installed by the United States and Britain, etc. So anyway, it all started back then, and intelligence agencies have been one of the main mechanisms for subversion of human rights, liberties, and democracies around the world. And so secrecy and covert operations and black operations and false flag operations have been the hallmark of the last 60 years. And people aren't aware of those things and aware of the real history of the JFK assassination and 9/11, et cetera, et cetera. They're really not yet in the picture of how what we're seeing today is possible and what's actually happening. So besides intelligence agencies, the military-industrial complex, of course, has been instrumental in their interests and the money to be made with war and invasions, et cetera. And the development of technology. So, in essence, in the United States, technology usually starts with the military. The military takes public tax money, public funds, does the research and development on most technologies, and today we'll specifically talk about microwave technology, which they started, and digital technology. And they do this at the public expense, and then eventually various aspects of that can be commercialized. And after the R&D has been done at public expense, then they have some commercial consumer applications for things like microwave ovens, for example. After radar and all the military applications had already been developed and looked at. And today we also have mass media, which has now been totally taken over by the corporate world. So we just have a handful of networks in large countries controlling all of the media, newspapers, radio, television, etc., and much of the internet. So it's a centralization and a total takeover, basically, of communications, news, and media by a handful of corporate networks. And that has never been in history before. We had some journalism happening even throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Journals were instrumental in stopping the Vietnam War. Without that, God knows how long it would have gone on, without that exposure that real journalists at that time provided. We also have the pharmaceutical medical tyranny. That has been made possible by people's disempowerment and total abnegation of their personal responsibility for their health. They do not basically turn over that kind of responsibility even for their automobiles to a mechanic, but they will turn over their bodies lock, stock, and barrel to a medical establishment that is part of the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex and just believe in that authority and science and medicine to the point where it has become the new religion. It is a church. And the high sacrament of that church, of course, today is vaccines. And the other latest development is the digital high-tech corporation, Silicon Valley. We have all of the internet media, social media, totally controlled once again by these mega corporations like Alphabet, which owns YouTube and Facebook, etc. And it's just a handful of people that are now controlling the narrative and censoring everything outside the government and corporate interests and the narrative that they employ. And currently, to take us to the current point, we now have the COVID and quaxine with 5G as the end game. So this is my viewpoint based on decades of looking at this, is that we are now in a point where we have a multi-pronged, full-spectrum, asymmetrical, covert war. It's biological, it's chemical, and by chemical I mean fluoride, I mean chemtrails, all of those, that aspect. Radiological, hence Fukushima and all of the ionizing radiation that's being leaked into the environment. We have energy weaponry, And we have propaganda used as weaponized propaganda. So we are in an end game that, as I say, is inconceivable for most people if they have not been following what's been happening over the last 60 years. And it's not a judgment, it's not blame, but it is to a certain extent, because you have your old maxims, democracy means eternal vigilance. And if you just subject yourselves to authority, whether it be government or the medical establishment or whatever institution, you are abnegating your responsibility to remain free and to safeguard your rights and liberties. And to that extent, we are culpable. And if I go on for just another minute, I just want to talk about also UN Agenda 21 and the 2030 Agenda. So if the audience doesn't realize, the United Nations, even the land which the United Nations rents, was started by and is owned by the Rockefellers. So the very land the UN buildings sit on is Rockefeller land. And this was all part of an elite plan for world government, or what latterly became called the New World Order, for a long, long time. And the UN, parts of the UN specifically, the Sustainable Development Goals of Agenda 21 and the 2030 Agenda are directly part of the global power elite's plan for the New World Order. And you've had other programs, Tim, which have dealt with the effects of that rollout in New Zealand, particularly with the special natural areas or significant natural areas agenda. And these agendas of the UN, sustainable development and no one left behind and all of the green things that are in the verbiage of those plans, have been rolled out globally to local governments. They have infiltrated every local government as a strategy. They didn't want to start from the top down. They really wanted to get into everything at a local level and bring them on board with this agenda. And the agenda is, as I say, comes from the power elite, the World Economic Forum, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, Codex Alimentarius, all these clubs that we talked about in the last interview, they're all involved in the strategy, basically, to bring about what in the end will be what we're facing now. So I will be blunt. What we're facing now is, with 5G and the COVID and injection regime, is depopulation. And the people who survive that depopulation will be installed in smart cities. They will have no access to the wilderness. That will be reserved for the power elite. And with 5G, whose microwave spectrum carries enormous amounts of data, we will have fully deployed artificial intelligence and total control and surveillance, a la the social credit system of China. And so the remaining people in the smart cities will be under total dystopian sci-fi control, as never even conceived of by the science fiction writers of the past. So we're in the end game, and that's the bleak picture that I, unfortunately, that's my perspective.
Well, your perspective has been echoed by more and more people, Joe, who are doing the work. And I've been in the game like you since, well, you were, I think, earlier, 1975 I woke up. I was just another yobbo doing sex, drugs, rock and roll. And then in 1975, I started to look really deeply at a lot of questions, and I sort of flipped virtually overnight. And now I recognize the pyramid of power. The elite are at the top, and then they have all these layers that they have actually put in place. And we, the common people, the 99%, are the ones at the bottom of the pyramid. And we are the ones who, once we waken up, we can shift the whole game. Like a little hinge can swing a very huge door.
Yes. And we don't know who's at the top. I mean, I don't pretend to know who's at the very top. There's lots of speculation about it's not even, you know, human control, who knows? But that's not the point. We certainly know all the names of the top players in the establishment,
yes,
and their mid-level minions as well. And we can see the modus operandi. That's what matters.
That's right. And here we are in New Zealand, and we're getting information from overseas, and it's coming through the lenses of the multinational corporation mass media outlets. And we've been programmed, we've been conditioned over the last 40 years to become desensitized, because there's so much on TV that the macabre has come through more and more, everything that is strange and lurid, and people going to bed at night, taking all these images to bed, allowing those images to eat away at their subconscious. And so consequently, a lot of New Zealanders, a good percentage, we've been disempowered, and we haven't, shall we say, realized that we're spiritual beings having an earth experience, because the churches too have failed miserably. I mean, across the board, Joe, we have lost curiosity, the ability to question and to wonder, what's it all about? We've just been told, here, go and get your Big Mac and your Coca-Cola, get a video on, sit on the couch, and waste your life.
Exactly. The human mental and spiritual spheres are totally at sea. To a person who is just observing, like if you came here from another planet, you would think that this is a lunatic asylum. Everything is upside down. Common sense logic is out the window. We now worship science and technology and medicine in the place of spiritual or religions that had a spiritual origin at one time. That's our new place of worship, is at the altar of science and technology. And without question, and when you question it, you're a heretic, subject to an inquisition. And everything appears upside down. So there's no moorings. We have no anchor and no moorings anymore on the common person. So it's almost like give up, because who knows what's real and what's not real anymore.
Yes, we talk peace and arm for war. We go and spray all our food with sprays, and then we eat it. And as you said, there's an inversion of just about everything. And yet doctors and academics and the intellectuals have got no idea how the universe came into being, really. And they've used all the telescopes in the world, can't find God, and they've all the microscopes in the world and cannot find the soul, and that they refuse to study anybody who has an out-of-the-body or near-death experience. There's a gigantic refusal. And so I say, listeners, go and check, even on greenplanetfm.com. We've got discussions on the soul, and people have out-of-the-body experience. So don't give into the conditioning that we're just a body that's here to be born, to reproduce, and to die. We are far more than that.
Absolutely, and that's the most empowering thing. So what's important for people is to realize this is, as much as it is made to appear to be a technological, godless, or spiritualless, sterile, one life existence, that is not the way it is. And the first point of contact of getting out of that mindset is to get into nature.
Yes.
Get back to nature, and you will realize that things are connected, things are deeper, more profound, and more joyous than anything in your city life or town life or technological life. That's the first step. The other thing is that we will not overcome this assault on humanity using their means and their weaponry. We cannot. We are outgunned. We are outclassed to force majeure on every level if we try to use technology or the digital world or weaponry of any kind or any kind of brute force. They have all the cards with that. We have to employ totally different things. We have to employ the human spirit. We have to employ music, dance, joy, laughter, nature, and self-empowerment, basically fearlessness.
Correct.
They thrive and they control through fear. And if we absolutely circumvent all of those tools of theirs, that is the only way that they will be overcome.
That's right. Well, like mycelium and mushrooms are networked under the ground, and you can move in so many different ways. Spontaneity is one thing, and I know myself, if your intention is really pure, intent is everything in many ways. And so that I know that when I go out anywhere, I put the intention up that I'm going to meet good human beings and I'm going to help them. And wow, the serendipity and the synchronicity happens often, again and again and again. And this is what the big electronic system can't beat. Synchronicity, because if everybody goes out with an intention to do good in the world, to assist, to help children, make sure that they've got a future, that we've got a healthy biosphere with all its biota, so that humanity can actually experience this joy and grow into the light of its own true self. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and that's their Achilles heel. It always has been. They, with all of their 24/7 planning for decades, all of their strategizing and game planning, all of the things that they're doing, they cannot take into account what they are unaware of. What's inconceivable to them is the real human spirit. What's inconceivable to them is selfless generosity and the selfless helping of other people. These are all blind spots. It is their Achilles heel that forever and a day in all past tyrannies and totalitarianisms has always been their failing. They cannot account for the human spirit that will eventually bring them down.
Well, Joe, when you embarked way back on your new journey, what we were doing is we were working for the greater good. We're not here for service to self. And this they cannot understand because they're service to a machine, a soulless machine. Mm-hmm. And that's their downfall in the end.
It is. It's that. It's their blind spot, their hubris and arrogance, too, their megalomania. Because these people, as we mentioned in the last interview, are rationalizing what they're doing. They, in all of their arrogance, they think that they are actually saving the ecosphere, of course for themselves, but that they're saving the ecosphere. And to do that, they must get rid of most of the people on the planet. And the arrogance to think that they could be deciding that is beyond, you know, it's beyond megalomania.
Yes, well, I've gone and looked at a number of the World Economic Forum's videos. Very slick, very flash. But they never ever mention love. They never ever mention the heart and community working as a cohesive whole. They've got the systems already that they're going to put in. They're not talking to us. Now, I did an interview about 2 weeks ago with Heather Mary Pennycook, and
yes,
one of the things is she's going to the community, and we're going to the community too, because there's this old saying that the 1% of the 1% is really controlling the whole planet.
Yes.
And there's 5 to 7% waking up now, and it's growing to 10%. It's getting larger all the time, and this has them worried because we're starting to put things together. Particularly here in New Zealand, we've got a very good team here, the voicesforfreedom.co.nz, voicesforfreedom.co.nz. Boy, some of their videos now, very, very professional and caring and connecting, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, excellent. That is one of the best, well, the most effective at the moment, New Zealand networks, yeah.
Yes, because I've got a whole list of them that I think is really, really important for us to be able to use, because we've got to make that connection with the people out there who are sharing breath with us right at this moment.
Yes, and that's real community, not this communism on steroids, which is the message of governments around the world, that the greater good for the general population supersedes your personal liberty, your personal rights and freedoms, your personal sovereignty. It's all superseded by this twisted communism concept that they're pushing on everyone, especially with the medical tyranny.
Yes, it was really interesting because, see, Dad had a farm, and he was a farmer, and he told me he had to drive 20 kilometres across the Matamata Plains, the Matamata Plains, to be able to find another dairy farmer who did not vote for the National Party. Well, when I went to school, some kids at school would say to me, oh, look, if you vote for the Labor Party, they in the end will want to nationalise all the farms in New Zealand. They will want to go communistic. And I thought, oh, gee, I don't believe this. But there is this meme going around today that the present situation is that they're going to want to own all the land, hence Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, that the land will be taken away from the people, the ordinary people, yet those at the apex of the pyramid of power, they're going to have all their freedoms that they've always had, but we at the bottom of the list, at the bottom of the pyramid, are going to have to conform to what you say, living in smart cities under a 5G network and a expanding frequency war.
Yes, and they will not only have all the land, they will all the freedoms that everyone currently allegedly enjoys, but they will have all the resources. So their game with Agenda 21 and the 2030 agenda is not to continue the banking scam that has been going on for centuries, but their agenda is to absolutely have everyone be equal, the plebeians, that is, own nothing and be happy, basically, and rent everything, while they don't even have to deal with fiat currencies and symbolic wealth anymore. They will directly own the planet's resources, and no one else will even have access to them.
This is why people have to do their research and get to it. And this is why I encourage you to check out greenplanetfm.com. And I'm sorry that I have to push this, but we've got some very good interviews there of really what's happening. And it's only through being able to communicate to people what's happening. So, Joe, on a localised level, have you any insights to be able to share? I mean, with Sue Gray, she went to Parliament, or she took to Parliament a notice that, in actual fact, the lockdown was not, should we say, legal, and that we cannot be forced to have a jab. Can you open up on that one?
Well, the lockdown was an older issue that has since been admitted by government and police that they didn't actually have any legal framework or authority to enforce a lockdown at the time it happened in New Zealand. But the latest court case was all around the emergency or the authorization of the Pfizer vaccine by the Medicine Act, Section 23, Article 1, which was supposed to be for a limited number of patients. So an emergency use or temporary use authorization, that's supposed to be for specific patients of doctors who are in a situation where the risk, where the benefits of a novel medicine would outweigh the risks. That was the spirit and intent of that clause, and the government used that to justify general mass injections for the public. So that's what was contested. We won that case, but the judge did not enforce an injunction to stop the rollout. And many people may know, the next day, the government simply said, oh, well, that act needed updating anyway. So the next day, under urgency and without even listing it, I think, on the agenda for the day, they just changed the law. Very convenient. I mean, if you or I went out and broke the law and were able to change it the next day so we didn't get prosecuted or there were no consequences, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's a totalitarian type of way of going about government.
Yeah, well, people have to realize that we are going incrementally, tiptoeing into totalitarianism on a level never seen before. Just about every country on the planet is doing it simultaneously with their corrupt governments in the tow of these 1% who are basically orchestrating the whole thing. And if we don't recognize same things happening incrementally with this total, so we have the latest, of course, is the Domestic Terrorism Act proposed, or bill, and the hate speech legislation.
Yes.
This is so totalitarian, it just cannot be disputed.
I agree. I mean, this is essentially what happened in Germany from 1933 onwards.
Yep, and if people can't wake up at this point, it gets to a point where you have the leeway for a while. You see these steps being taken. You see your country going in the totally down the wrong direction. And for a while, there is recourse. as long as people have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, even if there's censorship happening, if you still have freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, and then it could be turned around. But it gets to a point, like if those two laws were fully enacted and the government and the police can arbitrarily say, you have to take that off the internet, you cannot say these things or you will be fined or imprisoned. At that point, it's almost a point of no return.
Yes, yeah, well, see, New Zealanders, we always thought that we could trust our government.
Well, you always probably could. I mean, compared to other governments in the world, New Zealand has been in a benign, comparative, it is always corruption, but I mean, comparatively benign situation for most of its history with these governments. I'm not saying it was all good and perfect by any means. I mean, that's not the human condition. But compared to other places with the brutality and tyranny and periodic totalitarianism and wars and genocides that have gone on, even to the indigenous, I mean, real genocide with indigenous peoples, New Zealand has not, it's still inconceivable to them that this could happen here.
Astounding. I'm speaking with Joe Rafici from Nelson, letting us know that there's another story going. We are awash in lies and false information, and it's time, please, to research for yourselves. Now, the New Zealand Doctors SOS, the New Zealand Doctors Speaking Out with Science.
Yes.
On the 28th of June, 2021, they put out a press release, and I don't know if it ever got to any mainstream media at all. Have you any idea?
No. I mean, forget mainstream media, as you know. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. That's why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
But it's still very heartening, because just the way doctors are, it's a two-edged sword, doctors. People trust their doctors completely, and that's part of the problem. On the other hand, because doctors are still so respected, they're a danger to the upper of the state. So when doctors, and there are over 50 doctors in New Zealand now speaking out against everything COVID, especially the vaccines, the problem is that these people are basically the experts. So you can put up public health officials like Bloomfield and et cetera, and people, nobodies like Chris Hipkins, they can spout all they want. But when people hear a bunch of doctors refuting their narrative, that's a very dangerous situation for a totalitarian regime. So it's very important, and 50 doctors plus is a significant number of people sticking their neck out and speaking out in a country the size of New Zealand, and it's growing. So their plan is to get this done. You know, let's do this. Get this done. Get everybody vaccinated as quickly as possible before the whole thing shifts on them.
I hear you. And, I mean, boy, there's a lot of people talking out, speaking out against it. As, you know, real-world experts, Peter McCullough, Roger Hodgkinson,
yes,
and Michael Yeardon of Pfizer, the vice president of Pfizer, he's saying, come on, people, don't go down this road. It goes on.
Ioannidis.
Stanford University.
So many. I mean, even Luc Montagnier in Paris is saying, you know, everyone will be dead who takes this vaccine in 2 to 3 years. I mean, these are people to whom Ashley Bloomfield is an elementary school student. I mean,
this is true. This Parisian doctor, this French doctor, Nobel Prize. And he's a virologist, and he's saying that in 2 years' time. Wow.
Top epidemiologists. I mean, people, these are all being censored, blocked, vilified, going through hell from their own universities. It's the level of orchestrated tyranny. And we're not talking just government, of course, and mass media. We're not just talking those two obvious ones. We're talking about corrupt universities, corrupt institutions of all kinds. Scientific American, a hallmark of impartiality and supposed, you know, real science for I don't know, they've been going for 100 years, Scientific American, recently put out a special issue that all dealt with the psychology of conspiracy theorists, basic, not in so many words, but all the articles dealt with why people think like this outside the box. What's driving them? What are their psychological issues? It's incredible.
I hear you, I hear you. Now, we've got some very good videos that you can get on either BitChute or Rumble or Brighteon, all dot coms. Finish with a dot com after them. And I want to be able to keep reminding people. I go up to ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net, ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net. Because I lived in America a couple of times, I am quite affiliated to what's happening up in America. But this is very good. They put on one video each day. They put another video up. And they've got one of Dr. David Martin.
Yes, fabulous.
Yeah, and Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Yes.
Now, this is very, very important. They've got, there's also Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Yes. And she's there with Christine Northrup. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a, and Carrie Maddie. And they are talking about being a bioweapon.
Yes. Well, it's the latest of David Martin was with Reiner Fulmich. Now, David Martin's quite incredible. I mean, his organization, it's very... He does some kind of liability... it's hard to explain what his corporation is. Anyway, it's massive research, and he has uncovered all the patents. He was telling Reiner Fulmich about this in his most recent interview. All the patents that have been associated with COVID-19 and has shown that there were 73 patents on every aspect of this vaccine, of this supposed pathogen that were taken out years ago.
Yes.
And so that is in no way a novel pathogen. This was all patented and known about a long time ago, and even the Wuhan story is a bunch of nonsense.
Yes, well, just say again, Reiner Fulmich and Nuremberg 2. This is something really, really important for people to know, Joe, that after the Second World War, all the Nazis who followed orders had to go to a court of crime or be taken to a court for their crimes, and Nuremberg was this showpiece of all the criminal acts and all the horrendous stuff. Of course, it was before you and I were born, so we didn't know about this to that degree. But they're starting a second one, and from what I gather, it's going to be in the Isle of Man, and it's going to be also in September of this year, where they're going to bring out the evidence, and they most probably will trial, people go up for trial in absentia, I think is the word.
Yes, they're not going to show up, that's for sure, unless you hijack them there.
But all the... Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates and all the usual suspects.
Yes, and Klaus Schwab and
yes.
Prince Charles and all
yes.
of
Yes.
But the interesting thing about the Nuremberg Codes is two interesting facts. Most people don't know, first of all, that it was not just Nazi officers, etc., that got hung, but that it was media,
yes.
doctors and nurses that were all involved also were hung. And that is a message to get out to these low-level and intermediate flunkies, that you'd better look at what's in this for you, potentially.
That's right.
Not just the perks. You better look at the downside, because it's coming. And the other thing people don't know about the Nuremberg trials was that all of the people that got amnesty, because they were shipped over, the top scientists and some of the worst brutal doctors who were carrying out atrocities, were shipped over and given wonderful housing and high salaries in Operation Paperclip.
Correct.
To work with the CIA. And basically, the Nazi regime has never stopped. It has just been morphed and adapted into what we're seeing today.
You took the words out of my mind. That's right, because this is what happened. The Second World War actually just transferred itself over into the American military and industrial machine. And what happened was that something like over 10,000 spies came over too from the general who was running the spies behind the Iron Curtain, what we call the Iron Curtain today. And they joined the CIA, and this is where...
military-industrial complex.
And that's what's happened as a result. Yes, well, okay, well, we've got some good news to be able to share with people, have we not?
Yes. The good news is that we know from history. I mean, this is all just a rehash, different costumes, different props. It's all a rehash of what's happened many times before. We know that they will not win. What's different in our current situation is that unlike in Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia, we still have the internet, which is waking up the 100th monkey. It's waking up the critical mass, whether that critical mass is 10% or 20% or whatever, we don't know. But we still have those means of communication that other poor people in Germany never had when they wanted to resist the Nazis. So this is a two-edged sword for them, the internet. That's why they're trying desperately now to completely censor and shut down any dissenting voice. But we've had that, and many, many people know what's going on. So hopefully that will bring about their downfall way quicker than it otherwise would have happened in less technological times. But it is a two-edged sword, of course, because they have the capability of control and surveillance that the Nazis could only dream about. So, but they won't win. They, as we said, they have these blind spots and Achilles' heels and hubris, and they do not have the serendipity and synchronicity that good intentions have. They could have planned, you know, for another 100 years, and there would still be untoward events and wild cards and jokers happening for them galore because of their darkness and density and evil intentions.
That's right. Well, you mentioned in the last interview, Joe, about the Yuga or the Kali Yuga, which is a great Hindu calendar of 26,000 years. And at this moment, we're going through the darkest aspect of this calendar. And this is where matter becomes its most densest and the shadow gets its chance to dance. Hence, you look across all the governments and the corporations of the world and you see the individuals there who have got no connection with mum and dad and the kids down here on ground level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, the detachment. Well, that is the definition of all of these words. Insanity, ill health, you know, not being healthy, not being sane, not being holy. These are all words that signify your disconnection or your detachment from the whole and from reality. And that is the malaise of the current era. That's why I say nature is being touted by so many people as the first step to step out of this matrix.
I agree. I mean, remember many years ago, I decided to go and stay at our old farm right beside the river, and I saw a businessman. He's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions today, just prior to me going down to his farm, and he asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm going to go and sleep by the river, stay by the river. And he said, oh, gosh, gee, that's what I should do. And he never did, and he's made another so many hundreds of millions since. But he's not happy. He's not
enjoying any of it.
No. His mind is locked in on his business. He can't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I've got a free day. He doesn't have that. Yeah, so interesting. And another way, too, if New Zealanders look around and see that why things don't seem to be working, Chris Hedges, who used to work for the New York Times, who he flicked off because he realised that they were part of the problem, he had this great statement. He says, we now live in a nation, he's talking about America, we now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, religion destroys morals, and our banks destroy the economy.
Yeah. It's perfect, isn't it? I mean, what could be the devil's agenda more than that?
To break down society, to break down humanity, humans from each other. I know this is one of the things that you will notice too. I've spent a lot of my lifetime travelling overseas, and I've come to the conclusion very clearly that 90% or around about 90% of the world's population are essentially good human beings.
Yes, of course.
And you can always ask them a question and they'll always reply in the affirmative to want to assist you. And yet we have got this difficulty that we're going to have to shoehorn out of the whole game plan very shortly because things are serious at the moment out there.
Yes. It's you know, we have to acknowledge the dark side. Most people are good people. You know, most people, unless they taste too much power, and unless their spiritual history of reincarnations leads them towards certain lessons around power, most people are just want to be let alone and live your life. You just want to be left free to live your own life, learn your own lessons, choose your own path. But power, as we know historically and even from biblical things, is the downfall of man. So for us to judge even Klaus Schwab and these characters, it's there but for the grace of God go I, because we have never been tempted, perhaps. Well, not in this lifetime anyway.
That's right.
We haven't been tempted in that way. So it's easy for us to say how evil they are. But that is the dark side temptation of human nature, and we mustn't forget that, to be ever vigilant against that. But yes, this is the end of a 26,000-year cycle in Hindu mythology and philosophy. It's also at the end of a cycle in Hopi tradition, the Aztec tradition, in so many indigenous traditions. This is the darkest and the brightest of times, because we live in a world of polarity. So as their power and dense darkness wedge is coming to a close, the Renaissance wedge is opening up simultaneously. And so it is the most brilliant of times. And these, as we said last time, are necessary lessons to shake off this miasma, this matrix, this illusion, a secondary illusion, this digital matrix that has been layered on top of the primary illusion in Hindu also of Maya. We have this extra layer that has been foisted on us to take us further into disconnection with who we are and what we're doing here. So all of these lessons are absolutely perfect and absolutely necessary, though we mustn't forget that for the most evil aspects that are out there at the moment, they're the exact opposite is happening at the same time.
And we need to take time out to close our eyes and self-reflect for a while, because at the moment, so many of us are awake more than, you know, we could be awake 17 hours or 18 hours a day and have no time to just close down for a while and just sink deep into ourselves and breathe quietly and acknowledge the breath going into our being, down into our lungs. I mean, I lie in bed at night, Joe, and I can just be real still, and I know I'm breathing quite rhythmically, and I can feel my heart going boom, 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 and I can feel it. And at the same time, I love it. I feel fantastic heart. Wow, you're going 24/7. You've been going for all these years, all the time, through thick and thin, through good times, bad times. You've been solid, supporting me. And we must realize that our heart is such an important cellular being and within our body, and we have to feed it.
And look what they're doing. This quaxine is attacking the heart as well as the general circulatory system with blood clots, but it's attacking the heart specifically, and specifically even more so with young people, with giving them myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, until it causes, and all myocarditis causes irreparable heart damage, which may get you quickly or even years from now.
I hear you.
I wake up some days, I wake up really happy to be in this time. It's a paradox,
yes.
You know, but it's actually, it's inexplicable why some days I actually feel quite happy to be alive right now. And it's a miraculous existence at the moment. I think in the end we'll see it as a privilege to be part of this and awakening and to be here for this. We don't know whether we're going to be around for the complete turnaround or not. You know, we have to access that serenity and that joy. I've been doing a long fast, and the next couple of days I'm going tramping just to get completely away from everything. And one has to do these things, regardless of one's schedule.
That's right. Merge with nature. Take your shoes off your feet. I think this is a real good one. And I'll tell please, people, if you can find vitamin D3, go to your chemist shop, go to your discount chemist and get a good deal there. This vitamin D3, it can shift you really quickly. If you feel down and depressed and feeling life is tough, that can actually help. Just lift your attitude just that little bit more, and you can really... And we've covered this before, Joe. Good organic food, good quality water,
purified water.
When I say purified water, not sanitized with fluoride and chlorine, that's a no-no. Now, I've got a piece here. I've got two things. I'm just going through my list before I go. Majority of physicians decline COVID shots, according to the survey. Of the 700 physicians responding to an internet survey by the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, nearly 60% said they were not fully vaccinated against COVID. That's how they put it. You see, and so what's happening is that a lot of physicians, they're wary too. They're,
of course, they know the score.
Yep. And
it's the same way oncologists say they would never have they themselves or their family take chemotherapy or radiation.
It's astounding. And then there's this other thing too that I need to be able to state there. There are reports of graphene oxide in the COVID jab.
Yes, I've heard varying reports about that, and that is, some people are saying that it makes up the vast majority of the vaccine fluid, and other people saying it's merely a component. But in any case, there is no conceivable benign reason to have this substance in there, and this substance will react to magnetic influence and support the whole theory and concept. It's not so much a theory, it's pretty obvious, really, that some of the ingredients in the vaccines are to sync up and to be woven into the electromagnetic matrix and so that there is an output and an input available into our bodies if you have certain of these substances in there. And the magnetism that people are experiencing, not only at the arm, because they found that only 25% of the vaccine actually stays in the muscle, and the rest, 75%, is going out all over the body.
Correct.
So the magnetism has been experienced everywhere on people's bodies. And the graphene oxide appears to be a big part of that. And just before we go, I just want to say that the two prongs of what's happening now are 5G frequencies and the vaccine. They cannot be separated, and I do firmly believe they're working together. And what we do know at the moment so far is that 60 gigahertz interferes with the oxygen molecule, so that hemoglobin finds it difficult to absorb oxygen, and you have symptoms of hypoxia, which can be the cover story. So COVID is a cover story for the effects of 60 gigahertz microwaves from 5G spectrum. We know that much, but there are many other control mechanisms that may be in this vaccine that will totally violate your sovereignty, both physically and psychologically.
Yes, and this is why in many cases we saw people in the Wuhan area falling flat on their back or flat on their faces, is because some say that the 5G network was kicked in and it automatically...
It was a test pilot city for total deployment of 60 gigahertz 5G, Wuhan was.
And so these people just fainted, or not fainted, they didn't get oxygen, and so the body fell flat to the ground.
Yep, and the same thing happened in northern Italy and in New York City. Those were where 60 gigahertz was heavily deployed. And those were all these extreme cases of supposed COVID pathogen were happening. So those two are not to be separated. Those two factors in this endgame are completely interwoven. And the proof that you're on the mark, on the target, is try to put up anything on the internet that links those two technologies.
And you'll sense it.
Instantly,
yes. Now, in a previous discussion I had with you, we talked about this lady in Remuera who mysteriously died nearly 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
And what happened was, we had heard, it was even in the newspaper, the New Zealand Herald, that she had not only had the first jab, but she had a second jab, and it was straight after she got the second injection that she died.
And died hemorrhaging, I hear. And she was actually in charge of a vaccine center, so she was a supervisor of a vaccine center, so she's by no means anti-vaccine or injection. I shouldn't call these things vaccines. They're anything but a vaccine. And yeah, and they're so desperate. They were so desperate to not connect her demise with the vaccine that they even went so far as to cast suspicion on the husband for homicide.
I agree.
They would
yes.
do anything. They would do anything to avoid that connection.
Well, what happened was I've got a number of friends or contacts who screenshot the fact that the New Zealand Herald had put there that she did die after a second shot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand Herald has taken it all away.
Yeah, I read the original article, yeah.
Yes, but fortunately, the people with the screenshot have proof now that the New Zealand Herald censored. So the New Zealand Herald now have gone out on a limb, and I wouldn't want to be there, because they supposedly are the newspaper of the year and the website of the year.
Yeah, the year 1943.
Oh, God. Yes, well, Joe, this is our time for us to get together with the people who really want to love their family, love the world, and make the change that we really, really want. It's time for us to be really clear, be supportive of people, and make sure that you keep the sanctity of your body temple and the sovereignty of your being really, really intact.
Exactly. Total. If there's any separation that's valid now, it is a personal sovereignty separation, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Total non-cooperation with this dark miasma.
That's correct. We've found ourselves in this situation where this is our time in this lifetime. Since our point of incarnation, we have grown to learn, and here we are at this moment, realizing that we have to be this conduit between heaven and earth, stand in our truth, stand in our power, and love.
It's a pleasure as always, Tim.
Thank you, Joe. This is excellent. Well, I'll sign off, and I just want to say thank you very much for your wisdom and the way you put everything. Cheers, brother.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.
I will, and you too.
Bye-bye.
That was Joe Rafici from Nelson in South Island, letting us know that we are winning. Dear people, it's getting late here. It's after 12 o'clock. It's nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. I need to get away from here. But I really want to ask you a favour. New Zealanders, please, learn how to share information. Get out there and be courageous. Do what you think and know and feel is right. It's imperative. It's just imperative for us to be able to share this link. Grab this URL, this link, and send it to your friends. Do it through email. That's the way. And decide to network from now on. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and...